Good evening, and thanks for tuning in to the Martyrs Online Weekend Mission. We're much encouraged by the number of people who joined us last night, and we know them from many different parts of the world. We pray you'll all receive much blessing, but the Lord Himself will speak to all of our hearts and reveal Himself as the way, the truth, and the life to each and every one. Tonight, over the course of the next 30 minutes, we'll have a testimony from Lithuania. A little tip for the children here. The children's question will be something from Sandra Burakaitis' testimony. Then a message by Reverend Samuel Murray, minister of Porlivogi Free Presbyterian Church. He and I entered Bible College on the same day many moons ago. Then Phil Hart, our children's and youth worker at Martyrs, is responsible for the second children's story in the Animals in World War II series. There will be some excellent musical items as well. But first of all, Reverend Joshua Moffat from Bangor introduces us to a happy hope.
There's a great deal of hope going about today. Maybe you're going to the supermarket, you're away to get your groceries. You're hoping the supermarket's not busy. You're hoping that you don't come across somebody coughing or sneezing. Maybe it is that you're missing your family members. You're missing your friends, and you're hoping that lockdown measures will be relaxed soon so you can go out and see them again. Maybe you have some loved one in the vulnerable category and you're hoping that they won't get sick, or maybe you're furloughed, you're outside of work, and you're hoping that you'll get to return to work sometime soon. Nevertheless, regardless of what you're hoping for today, the root of hope is unhappiness. The reason there's so much hope today is because there's so much disappointment, there's so much discontentment. We hope measures will be lifted because we're tired of the lockdown. We can hope to go back to work because we're feeling useless and unhappy outside of our work. Simply, we hope for something better because we're not happy with the way things are. But I want to tell you today about a happy hope. I want to remind you of the hope that brings joy unspeakable. For in Psalm 146 and the verse number 5, we read, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." When we put our hope in politicians, governments, world leaders, or even ourselves, we're doomed to be inevitably let down. This psalm speaks of that. In Psalm 146 verse 3, the psalmist says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." You see, our friends, even with the very best of intentions, will fail us and let us down. Parliament, Stormont, these institutions, though they be high and though they be mighty, they will let us down too by the decisions that they make. Yet there's one. Oh, there's one that will never let you down, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will never fail to do what he says. Christ will never lead you into an uncertain future. Christ will never leave you to suffer alone. He will not disappoint you. He will not forsake you. Rather, happy are they who put their hope and trust in him. I know we all want lockdown to end. Don't put your hope in Boris Johnson today. Don't put your hope in the World Health Organization. These things, these people only possess a limited and a temporal power. Rather, put your hope in Christ. The lattermost part of this verse testifies, "The Lord shall reign forever." He's the one that can cause these things to pass. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who the psalmist described as a help to you. And I can assure you, dear Christian, when Christ is throned above all in your heart, you'll be of all men most happy. You know, in closing, that word happy can also be translated blessed. Do you want the blessing of God today? Do you want to know his touch and his comfort? Then trust him, rest in him, and know today that joy unspeakable and full of glory.
you heard of the story of the bear that was in World War II. This bear was called Vortak. He was given to a group of soldiers that were involved in the war, fighting the Nazis, and the little bear was only a cub. He was given to a group of soldiers who were from a country. What's the country? Poland. And the Polish soldiers, what would they do? They would bring the little bear with them. They loved to wrestle with the bear, and it loved this. It would eat their food. It would do all of these things. Eventually, they found themselves in the country of Italy. And there in that battle, Mount Cassino, there in 1944, the bear would help the soldiers, the Polish soldiers, and would carry huge crates of ammunition, bring it to the front line to the soldiers day after day. At the end of that battle, Vortak had survived, along with many of the Polish soldiers, within 1 year. Boys and girls, the soldiers and Vortak were now in Scotland. Well, they were in Scotland. The end of the war was declared. The Polish soldiers then had their homes to go back to. What would they do? Well, they left the great bear, Vortak, in Edinburgh Zoo. And there in Edinburgh Zoo, Vortak, who for all his life, as he was in the army and with the soldiers, he would have had this chain around his neck. He was in captivity. And there in the zoo, the chain came off because he was now free. What an amazing story. But it reminds us the story of all of our lives, that the Bible tells us we're all sinners. We're all, as it were, chained with sin. We sin, with things we don't want to do, and yet we do it. And there are things that break God's law and displease God. But you know, God sent his son, Jesus, into this world so that he, out of love, would take the punishment of our sin. And when we ask him to forgive our sin and we repent, he forgives our sin. And there's a little verse that Jesus himself said, and it's found in John 8 and 36. And it simply says, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I trust that you will enjoy that freedom that comes in Jesus Christ, that you can live for Jesus in freedom and go on to serve him and then eventually go to be with him in heaven. Jesus is the only way and the only one that can bring that true freedom. God bless you.
I grew up in a Catholic home in Lithuania. My mom would take my brother, sister and me to church at Christmas and Easter, but God's name was rarely used in our home. My dad was a successful businessman. He was selling cars and he ran a few shops. My mom was a housewife. She dedicated her life to raising the children. From the outside, we seemed like a very happy family. My dad bought a beautiful big house near the lake. We could afford everything we wanted. But that was just an illusion from the outside. Inside our home, our lives were miserable. My dad would go to business trips away from the family. My mom knew that there were other women in his life, and there was very little time spent with the family. In addition to that, my dad was a car racer. He was proud driving cars, and he was very confident in that. One night, having spent some time in the pub drinking, he got into the car and he was driving back home. And unfortunately, he did not notice an old man riding a bike. The car hit the man. He died. My dad drove away. As a result, he was sentenced to imprisonment. While being there, my dad felt hopeless and in despair. One day, he wanted to commit a suicide. But on that very same day, God showed him in front of his eyes his sins. And soon after, he met a Canadian missionary who shared about the love of God. And he started reading the Bible, he started praying, and God softened his heart and brought him to saving faith. Prison was God's means. A means of a loving and gracious God to humble the proud and to prepare the heart for salvation. My dad's heart and life was transformed. Soon after, he started writing letters to his family, to each person, asking for forgiveness and telling about a wonderful Savior who can give meaning in life and who can give salvation to the soul. At that time, I was angry with God. I was looking for meaning of life in the wrong places. Together with my friend, we were going to concerts where Satan's name was worshipped. We got involved in a Satanist group. We started reading Satan's Bible. And I was not happy in my life. We lost all our property. We had to move to another area, another town. And as a teenager, I was so distressed. And at that very time, I started receiving letters from prison from my dad about God asking for forgiveness. That touched my heart, and I started to read the Bible. It took me a few years to realize that I am a sinner too, that good works, being good, going to church, praying, reading the Bible, these things cannot help. And right now, when I look back, I am amazed by the simplicity of the gospel, how God sent His Son Jesus into this world to die on the cross for our sins. And He is the only way who can save the person. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Him. Because of my dad's exemplary behavior, his time in prison was shortened. And soon after, he was back home. His godly life was a great example and testimony about God's faithfulness, and this led the whole family to repentance. As I look back, I am so grateful to God for peace of mind and the joy in heart that surpasses all understanding. He is there besides, not only during the good times, but also during the dark days. My dad died at the age of 46 in a car crash. That was a time of sorrow and grief for the family, but God was there. Jesus was there. He helped us all the way. And with all of my heart, I can say, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Repent of your sin today and trust Him, the wonderful Savior.
Our text for this evening is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This week we are marking the 75th anniversary of VE Day, the cessation of hostilities in Europe. With the Russians approaching Berlin from the east and the Allies moving in from the west, Hitler committed suicide rather than face the consequences of his evil actions. After 6 long years of sacrifice, suffering and death, the Allies had secured victory and peace in Europe. For almost 4 months, the war would continue in the Far East until VJ Day, when the Japanese surrender was signed on board the USS Missouri. VE Day was an emotional time in the nation, marked with big celebrations and street parties. Even Princess Elizabeth and her sister were allowed to leave the palace and celebrate with the crowds outside, although, for obvious reasons, they had to do it secretly. Many people attended church services to thank God for the victory. It is difficult for those of us who did not live through the war to appreciate the joy that this peace brought to our nation. As I thought about the cessation of hostilities and resultant peace, my mind was drawn to the words of Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse, we have a superb and succinct summary of the gospel. While Churchill's VE Day announcement was brilliant news, the message in this verse is even better. Let's look at why this is the greatest news that we could ever hear. The first point I want to leave with you is this: the person who saves. Our text says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, millions actually, had a vital role to play in order to save our nation between 1939 and 45. The Women's Land Army produced the food, the factory workers produced the munitions, and the soldiers, sailors, and airmen took the fight to the enemy. But only one person could save all of his people from their sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel, the only gospel, the gospel that saves, is all about Him. Churches cannot save your soul. Sacraments cannot save your soul, and rites cannot save your soul. Whenever the Apostle Peter was preaching, he said of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." God's word is crystal clear on this matter. We must be saved. Salvation is found in Christ alone and in no other. Paul said in his first letter to Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." While it is true that you cannot believe everything that you read today with so much fake news going around, it is not true of the Bible. God's word is faithful or trustworthy. His word is truth. We must accept his word, the word that states Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The word "came" shows us that he had a previous existence. He is the eternal Son of God. He left heaven and came to this earth for the purpose of saving sinners. To save us, he had to become a man and die on the cross as the substitute for our sin. This is because God's punishment for sin is death. And as we read in Romans 5 verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. He died in our place, bearing our punishment. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Had it been possible for Europe to save from Nazism by some means other than by war, then this alternative would undoubtedly have been chosen. But it wasn't possible. There was no other way. There was no other way for us to be saved but through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first verse and chorus of John Peterson's hymn summarizes this great truth. "Before the stars were hung or planets fashioned, before the clay was formed to make a man, Christ was the Lamb of God for sinners offered. This was redemption's one and only plan. There was no other way a God of love could find to reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. It took the death of his own son upon a tree. There was no other way but Calvary." That's the person who saves. The second point is the pardon for the sinner. Our text says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Justified means to render just or innocent or to be righteous. I love the Shorter Catechism definition of justification. "Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone." Only God can pardon our sins. No one else. And whenever he pardons us, he does it in an instant, for it is an act of his grace. We are not pardoned over our lifetime. Many mistakenly think that it takes a lifetime of self-effort and self-denial to obtain pardon for their sin. A lifetime of church rituals. Pardon for sin through trusting Christ can be obtained in a moment of time. And whenever God pardons, he does it completely, for he pardons all of our sins. He doesn't pardon some sins now and some later. God doesn't dangle pardon before us like a carrot to entice us to keep following him, so that if we keep following, God will keep forgiving and eventually grant pardon. No, God accepts us and pardons all of our sins because of what Christ did for us on the cross. John said in 1 John 2:12, "Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." Their sins were forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? But how exactly are sins pardoned? By faith we must receive Christ. With repentance over our sin, we trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross for our salvation. We must heed the words of Paul to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you want to be pardoned, do what it says in John 1 and 12, "As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We have the person who saves, the pardon for the sinner, and finally the peace of the saint. We have peace with God. Peace in Europe 75 years ago meant that the guns went silent, the artillery stopped shelling, and the bombs stopped falling. The war was over and there was peace. Peace among nations is good, but peace with God is better. Do you have peace with God tonight? Many people are troubled because they have no peace in their hearts and no peace with God. They know that they are sinners. They know that they are heading for hell. They long to have peace and assurance in their hearts. But sadly, it is missing. The Bible speaks of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It also refers to the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. This means that Christ has laid the foundation for peace through the shedding of his blood at Calvary. Who then has peace with God? Who has obtained it? Paul was writing to the believers in the church at Rome whenever he said in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God. Only those who have believed in the name of the Son of God have peace with God. Only those whose sins are pardoned and under the blood of Christ have peace with God. The Christian can sing, my sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. You can have peace of heart, peace in your soul, in your conscience, in your mind. Isaiah spoke of the Lord being able to keep us in perfect peace due to the fact that we are trusting in him. Matthew Henry said, there is more in this peace than barely a cessation of enmity. There is friendship and loving kindness. After the war, while there was peace, there wasn't always friendship or trust. The Cold War between the USA and its allies in the West and the USSR and its allies in the East followed the peace. If you come to Christ, you will have peace, but also friendship, fellowship, happiness, trust, blessing, joy and assurance. I learned to sing a chorus many years ago, the truth of which I have proven over and over again. Happiness is to know the Saviour, living a life within his favour, having a change in my behaviour. Happiness is the Lord. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll experience this happiness and this peace. And I trust you'll come to him and be saved and have your sins put away. Amen.
Confessing my sins, he forgave me.